Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a mind-blowing solution for reducing violent crime. The San Diego Police Department goes woke with new transgender guidelines. Plus, critical race theory and reparations are now being pushed in medical care. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because AOC is back in the news, and you know that can't be a good thing because every time she says something or tweets, you're left scratching your head. This is a person who has an economics degree but doesn't understand economics, a person who's been down to the border but doesn't understand border security, and now it appears she doesn't understand crime either. With crime spiking, violent crime dramatically rising in these left-wing cities fueled by their defund the police movement, AOC actually has a plan. She has a plan to reduce violent crime, and that is build fewer jails. And here's the story. Democrat New York Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said Thursday that the way to reduce the number of people going to jail is to stop building more of them. Ocasio-Cortez was joined at the Bronx press conference by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and New York Democrat Jamal Bowman. The press conference was on violence prevention. First of all, I love how these leftists always talk about violence prevention, but do nothing to actually prevent violent crime. Chaz and CHOP in Seattle were out of control because people did not enforce the law. Crime went crazy. But there's AOC, and she's saying this.
If we want to reduce violent crime, if we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them. The answer is to make sure that we actually build more hospitals, we pay organizers, we get people mental health care and overall health care, employment, etc.
We pay organizers? We pay organizers. That's part of her plan to reduce violent crime. But back to her main point. Her main point is that we'll reduce violent crime and the number of people in jail by building fewer jails. Now, I guess if there are physically fewer jails, there are fewer people in jail. We'll give her that. But how does that reduce violent crime? It doesn't do anything. But that's this typical left-wing mentality that we're not actually going to combat the problem. We see what happened when they defunded the police. Crime spiked. You think there might be a correlation there? You think police might actually help with law and order? But not AOC. And that's not the only thing she's saying. Here's her tweeting about free everything. Free access to mental health care is critical, but therapy isn't a solution for worker exploitation and subhuman conditions. You need to get paid. Guaranteed living wages, health care, material stability and safety. These are the key conditions for mental and general public health. You need to get paid. Yep, that's the solution for everything. Everything except, of course, reducing violent crime. Then that is solved by fewer jails, building fewer jails. Makes some sense, doesn't it? All right, next we're going to talk about the San Diego Police Department. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about the San Diego Police Department. Because as I said, in these left-wing cities, crime is going up. Violent crime is going up. People are being emboldened because no one's doing anything about it. All they care about is getting woke. That's what drives the left. That's what they want. And that woke philosophy has now made it in to the San Diego Police Department. And here's the story. Police officers in San Diego must refer to transgender and non-binary individuals by their pronouns, must allow them to choose the gender of the officer who searches them, and must take them to the jail facility that aligns with the person's preferred identity, according to a new policy. Police Chief David Nislett said the new guidelines developed in coordination with San Diego's LGBTQ community and announced the first day of Pride Month set clear expectations for interactions between San Diego Police Department officers and transgender and gender non-binary community members. What can you even say? Everyone knows about these stories, these reports of transgender women, meaning men, being put in women's prisons and assaults happening. We know that's going on, but hey, All that matters is being woke, and here's more. Under the new policy, officers must also properly document a person's gender identity in police reports, follow proper procedures for transporting individuals who identify as female, which includes recording the transport on body-worn cameras and notifying a dispatcher of beginning and end mileage, and make every reasonable attempt to recover medications for the individual. I actually didn't realize that females are transported differently than males. That's part of the transgender policy at the San Diego Police Department. But here's a few things I did know. That is, when they talk about transitioning, that's something that can't happen, that doesn't happen. That word is not accurate. A man will never become a woman, no matter how many hormones are taken or how many things are chopped off in surgery, the man will still be a man. That's just a fact. The other fact is, the longer we push this, the longer we allow the left to try to normalize this behavior, the more we see it seep in. Now, we're talking about teenagers getting hormone therapies or little kids being talked about, being lectured on being transgender. All of that is a result of the left making their push and us accepting it little by little by little. All right, next, let's talk about critical race theory, because as parents and concerned citizens are pushing back, the left is digging in. It's like they have wounded animal syndrome and they are fighting back. The New York Times just put out a story attacking Republicans for attacking critical race theory. Here's how they tweeted about it. Republican lawmakers across the U.S. have passed bills to block curriculums that emphasize systemic racism. Their campaign has targeted critical race theory, which many conservatives portray as accusing white Americans of being individually racist. Of course, this attack piece by the New York Times paints critical race theory in a glowing light, and they attack Republicans saying that they're going after critical race theory simply because of politics, that it's a political issue that they can use in 2022. That's what the New York Times is saying. But it's not just critical race theory in education. It's not just the infiltration of that affecting our kids. Now it's being pushed in medical care. Two Harvard physicians have come out and said, yes, we need critical race theory and reparations as part of overall medical care, giving different people of different races preferential treatment. And here's part of their comments. Federally paid reparations, urgent and long overdue, would help to mitigate racial health inequities, but they would not on their own end institutional and structural racism. We believe we must pursue restitution programs at the institutional level while also advocating for federal reparations. So in this article, the physicians blast the ideals of Martin Luther King, who called for a colorblind society, and they're actually pushing preferential treatment based on race for medical care. Now, to discuss this, we've got our Republican strategist friend and attorney, Amanda Mackey. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so we heard from these far left-wing physicians. I want to play this clip from Douglas Murray, who's an author. He's a staunch critic of critical race theory. Here's his take.
It is quite amazing to look at what these Harvard professionals have been arguing for. They say race should be a determining factor in how American heart patients are treated. And it says, wait for this, that there should be a preferential admission option for Black and Latinx patients. I mean, you have to just pause for a moment and think, imagine how outraged we would all rightly be if some Harvard professional said, you know, there should be a preferential treatment for heart failure patients for people who are white.
All right, Amanda, so what do you think? Healthcare preferences based on race?
Well, it shouldn't surprise anyone that this is where they're headed. I mean, they started with reparations. Then they moved to teaching critical race theory in schools, even though states like Florida and many others have banned critical race theory. They have found ways to hire consultants at the local level to teach those ideals in our school systems. And I got a very disturbing call yesterday. Someone wanted to talk to me about how they are trying to stop Holocaust education in our school systems, because they believe that is part of the critical race theory, that is part of the white man keeping people down, keeping the Palestinians down, and that we shouldn't talk about the Holocaust, which is just so antithetical to really understanding a worldview of what happened and the genocide that happened, that eradicated 6 million Jews. Then now you're seeing people talk about healthcare disparities, which we all can agree there are healthcare disparities among races. There are healthcare disparities among men and women. But when you look at healthcare disparities and you say we're going to give preferential treatment to African Americans or Latinos, then what are you actually doing when you are segregating the populations based on healthcare? When if you look at the general population, the same diseases kill white people, they kill brown people, they kill African-American people. So just take a look at the top five diseases: stroke, hypertension, diabetes, various cancers. Those are similar among all races. What you'll see more in the African-American community, for example, is sickle cell disease. Though it is very rare, it is more prevalent in the African-American community. But why should we segregate that out and say, well, sickle cell disease affects one population more than the other, therefore there should be, you know, more preferential treatment given based on that or based on being a certain race? That's where you're going to run into problems, because now we're stratifying solely based on your cultural background, as opposed to saying this is what affects the majority of Americans. Now, I worked in Denmark, and my background is in healthcare as a practicing attorney and also working on healthcare policy. If you look at the population in Denmark, it's about 5 million, very homogenous people. Look at the foods they eat, look at their culture. Their culture is to bike and walk. They hardly drive. But look at other populations, for example, the Mediterranean diet. That's known to be very healthy. So we all have various disparities. But to then say that, for example, makes them better patients, therefore they shouldn't be given, healthcare treatment over another race, is ludicrous. And add on top of that, that reparations would actually benefit their healthcare outcomes. Now we're going bonkers.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The whole thing is bonkers, because the article that the physicians wrote, it's actually titled An Anti-Racist Approach to Medicine, and yet it's totally racist, putting one race above the other. And to cap this off, you know, it's the Democrats that are coming out against this, yet they are always the ones that seem to be racist. And Joe Biden, he did it again. I want to play you this clip and get your reaction.
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers, they don't have accountants, but they have great ideas.
Oh my gosh, what can you even say? What did you think when you first heard that?
Well, the first part of his statement is true. Yes, whites and blacks can both do the same thing. Yes, we all agree to that. The second part of his statement is crazy. Yeah. They don't have accountants. They don't have lawyers. I would argue, when I went to law school, there were a lot of African-Americans that went to law school with me, and they're practicing attorneys. So I think they would take offense to the fact that he would even say that. And certainly the same is true of accountants. So I don't know where he comes up with these ideas. I don't know if he's so backwards in his thinking. I don't know if he has white guilt that he says these things. But nevertheless, they're very offensive to the African-American community that has really done so much to, bring people to these highly regarded professions, doctors, lawyers, accountants. They're very successful. So why is he saying they don't have their own? They don't have access to their own. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, according to him, blacks are incapable of getting accountants. They are incapable of even going out and getting an ID to vote. How little does he think of the black community? It's absolutely outrageous. Amanda, thanks so much for your comments and for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So I always appreciate Amanda's insights. And I just wonder what Joe Biden, what racist thing he's going to say next, and if the media will actually cover it. I'm not holding my breath. All right. So now we've had AOC, we had woke cops, we have Joe Biden. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call like a relaxed brain.
All right, first let's talk about Google, because they just reassigned their top diversity executive for being anti-Semitic. That's right, their head of diversity is still going to stay with the company, but he won't head the diversity program anymore. Google has removed Kamal Bob from his head of diversity position after discovering a blog post from 2007 in which Bob wrote that Jewish people have an insatiable appetite for war and killing. He is still employed by the company and will focus on his STEM work. It's interesting that in today's cancel culture that this guy was just reassigned. He's too toxic for the diversity department, but not too toxic for Google in general. All right, next, some breaking headlines, some breaking news from the Babylon Bee, first dealing with Dr. Anthony Fauci, because as these emails have come out on the Wuhan lab leak theory, he is reeling. He needs to take action. Here's what Fauci's doing. Fauci hires expert technician Hilgo Klintman to secure his email server. I love that one. And here we have a compromise deal in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot, who is taking heat from her policy of not interviewing white people at all, is her compromise deal. Compromise. Mayor Lightfoot agrees to half interview with half black journalist. That's just classic. All right, folks, that's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Our next show will be Monday at the same time. Please share. Please tell your friends. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.